RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Myanmar's leader respond to the pressure of Rakhine State crisis solution. The leaders of ASEAN and China agree to start COC negotiation. Indonesia and Egypt have similarities in appreciating heroes. And now the news in detail. Myanmar leader Daw Su Kyi responded to the request of ASEAN countries to take steps to resolve the humanitarian crisis that occurred in Rakhine State. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi on Tuesday morning in Manila, Philippines said Daw Su Kyi said the Myanmar government has held the recommendation of the Advisory Commission report to the Rakhine State led by Kofi Annan. Minister Retno Marsudi added the Myanmar leaders also expressed his appreciation to the countries that have provided assistance, including to the ASEAN Humanitarian Aid Center. Minister Retno moreover said the Myanmar government also conveyed the importance of completing the draft of Memorandum of Understanding between the governments of Bangladesh and Myanmar regarding the repatriation of Rohingya refugees residing in Bangladesh. The Myanmar government has pledged to implement the draft 3 weeks after it was approved by both governments.
Yang ketiga yang disoroti oleh Dosu adalah mengenai masalah.
The third one highlighted by Dosu is about the return of refugees. Dosu also expressed the importance of completion of Memorandum of Understanding draft on repatriation with Bangladesh. Myanmar government promised 3 weeks after the draft Memorandum of Understanding was signed it will be implemented. So the Memorandum of Understanding must be signed as soon as possible. Therefore, Indonesia will try to communicate with Myanmar and Bangladesh as well as other parties so that the draft of Memorandum of Understanding can be immediately completed.
Yang lain agar draft MOU ini dapat segera diselesaikan.
Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said Indonesia is the first country to open the discussion on efforts to resolve the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine State during the ASEAN leaders meeting in Manila, Philippines. Earlier, Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in a bilateral meeting with UN Secretary General Jose Antonio Guterres on Monday night, conveyed Indonesia's concern for the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine. Both President Joko Widodo and the UN Secretary General have the same views on the humanitarian crisis, according to President. The crisis is feared will have an impact on the stability and security of the region. Moreover, the president said the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine is also feared will bring out radicalism and the threat of terrorism if not immediately be resolved. Leaders of ASEAN member countries together with China agreed to announce to initiate negotiation on a code of conduct in an effort to resolve the South China Sea conflict. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said Tuesday morning in Manila, the Philippines said it was announced by the heads of countries participating in the ASEAN-China summit meeting held at Philippine International Convention Center, Manila, as part of the 31st ASEAN summit. Minister Retno also said that Singapore has been appointed to be coordinator of the negotiation of the points of code of conduct so that Singapore has the authority to lead the negotiation between the parties in finalizing the negotiation. Indonesia, according to Minister Retno, will continue to encourage all parties to finalize the code of conduct can be resolved immediately.
Untuk ASEAN China, jadi kemarin leaders sudah sepakat.
The leaders of ASEAN-China have agreed to announce yesterday that negotiation for COC began. Now it will begin the process for Singapore is coordinator of the ASEAN-China. So Singapore will talk to China to determine the date of negotiation. So almost all the leaders stress the importance of starting negotiation immediately. There was agreement on the level of leaders to start negotiation. We will push immediately and we will push for the finalization of the negotiation to be continuously pursued. Previously, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said in the ASEAN-China meeting, all parties must work together to immediately start and complete the code of conduct negotiation process. This is important to prove to the world that ASEAN and China have committed to have a code of conduct. President Joko Widodo also conveyed the importance of efforts to improve economic cooperation that beneficially to both sides. President Joko Widodo also hoped that the synergy of infrastructure and connectivity cooperation between Belt and Road Initiative and the ASEAN Master Plan for the connectivity can be immediately continued. Leaders of ASEAN, Japan, China, and South Korea met at the 20th anniversary summit of ASEAN Plus 3 in Manila on Tuesday, November 14. Antara reported from Manila, the Philippines on Monday, November 13. During the meeting, ASEAN Plus 3 leaders will issue two important documents, namely the Manila Declaration on the ASEAN Plus 3 20th Anniversary of Cooperation and the ASEAN Plus 3 Leaders Joint Statement on Food Security Cooperation. Both documents represent the vision and priority of ASEAN Plus 3 APT cooperation and the common desire of APT countries for the benefit of the people. ASEAN Plus 3 leaders are eager to achieve the development of a wider community, the East ASEAN Economic Community, by strengthening the foundation of regional cooperation. At the summit, ASEAN, Japan, China, and South Korea leaders will review the APT cooperation and discuss the future direction of the cooperation in connection with the 2018-2022 APT Working Plan recently adopted by APT member countries. In addition, APT leaders will also exchange views on several regional and international issues related to trade and investment relation, environment and sustainable development, as well as issues related to community welfare. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed hope on Monday, 13/11, that a partnership between the Association of Southeast Asia Nations and the United States can contribute to world peace and prosperity, considering that the agreement includes political, security, and economic cooperation. President Joko Widodo said during ASEAN-US Summit in Manila, as quoted in a statement released by the Presidential Office Press Bureau, that the United States is one of the ASEAN important partners. During their 40th anniversary commemorative summit in Manila on Monday, ASEAN and the United States both expressed the desire to seek strongest economic engagement and enhance cooperation in addressing transnational challenges, particularly through the ASEAN-US strategic partnership. In a joint statement, ASEAN leaders and U.S. President Donald Trump expressed their commitments to curtailing the threat of terrorism and violent extremists through information sharing and law enforcement cooperation. The latter includes engaging the Southeast Asia Aviation and Border Security Program economic engagement will pursue through programs such as U.S.-ASEAN connectivity through trade and investment. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The bilateral relation between Indonesia and Egypt have long been established in various fields. As we all know that Egypt was the first country to recognize Indonesian sovereignty in 1945, Indonesia and Egypt are also known as active members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC, Non-Aligned Movement and G20. The Indonesian ambassador in Egypt, Helmi Fauzi, after leading the commemoration of Heroes Day in Cairo, said the similarity between the two countries are in upholding and honoring the heroes who have fought for the independence and sovereignty of the country. To commemorate and dedicate the struggle that has been given to the nation and state, the names of heroes are immortalized into the name of the city and roads. Moreover, the Egyptian government also dedicate the name of President Sukarno in the country.
Yang ketiga yang disoroti oleh Dosu adalah mengenai masalah returnee. Jadi orang-orang yang akan kembali.
Indonesia and Egypt have a very strong national identity. In Egypt, the heroes are also greatly appreciated. If we see, many street names are taken from the theme of the historical day of battle. A lot of cities and roads use the name of heroes such as Nasr City, Anwar Sadat City, and Sukarno Street. The name of Sukarno Street is a recognition of Bung Karno's services to encourage the achievement of independence of countries in Asia and Africa. Related to the commemoration of Heroes Day 2017, Ambassador Helmi Fauzi said, "Every Indonesian citizen in Egypt is asked to imitate the spirit of heroes' sacrifice, especially in interpreting the commemoration of Heroes Day this year, with the theme Strengthening Unity to Build the Country. Every citizen needs to uphold the spirit of the heroes when are able to leave the sectoral age, class, and private interests to build Indonesia." Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized the crucial role played by small business in the growth of the economy in Southeast Asia during 31st Association of Southeast Asia Nation Leaders Summit in Manila on Monday, 13/11. The regional block is set to connect multinational companies with small businesses through the ASEAN Mentors for Entrepreneurship Network, which was launched by the ASEAN Business Advisory Council on Sunday, 12/11. According to ASEAN Secretariat data, small businesses account for more than 88% of the total number of businesses established in the region. The president added that the ASEAN must also expand its focus on empowering women in small businesses, and he shared Indonesia's experience in developing inclusive businesses by connecting big companies with the small business across different sectors. He said that Indonesia has a task force responsible for synergizing the interests of government, business, and low-income citizens on including financing. The last item, Jakarta Deputy Governor Sandiaga Uno is optimistic that the preparation for the 2018 ASEAN Games will be completed according to its intended schedule. However, Jakarta's notorious traffic congestion is still a problem for the ASEAN Games participants. Sandiaga Uno, in the 2018 ASEAN Games meeting at the Gelora Bung Karno, Jakarta, on Sunday, November 12, said that the administration will think about how to manage and anticipate it. Meanwhile, Jakarta's head of the transportation department, Andri Yansha, said, revealed that the government has prepared 11.9 billion rupiah to better traffic congestion during Asia's sporting festivity. Andri said that despite the close distance between the athletes' apartment and the ASEAN Games venue, Andri said that their journey is set to be within 34 minutes based on the tests done to simulate the athletes' travel time. The government managed to cover the route in 38 minutes to reach the destination. The transportation agency will mobilize 1,300 personnel specifically to manage transportation for the 2018 ASEAN Games. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Myanmar leader respond to the pressure of Rakhine State crisis solution. The leaders of ASEAN and China agree to start COC negotiation. Indonesia and Egypt have similarities in appreciating heroes. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Complete Front Regions and Governor Election. East Java Regional Police Chief Inspector General Mahfud Arifin has revealed recently that some regions in East Java are predicted to be front to conflict in the governor election in 2018. The regions which are often referred to be front to post-conflict include the eastern part of Pasuruan, Probolinggo, Lumajang, Jember, Situbondo, Bondowoso, and Banyuwangi, Madura, and Mojokerto. Thus, regional police will anticipate and will be more vigilant in order to avoid something unexpected. The statement of East Java Police Chief is an early warning. This means that the conflict from regions during the election may occur not only in large cities but also in remote areas across Indonesia. It is like a snowball. One conflict can lead to subsequent conflicts with larger scales that could even trigger security disturbances in urban areas. Readiness of all stakeholders, both from the smallest element in the community to the highest in the elite politicians, is very important. There needs to be joint coordination between the election organizers and other stakeholders in order to create synergy, such as between regional and central government the Central General Election Commission, KPU, and law enforcers that maintain security. More importantly, the political parties that support the candidates have to participate in maintaining the political atmosphere. Sometimes, the supported candidates are not necessarily accepted by the community. As a result, conflict may occur. The general public must always prioritize unity in the light of nation and state, including in the implementation of regional elections. Indonesian people should not be easily steered or even taken into conflict by irresponsible people who only think about temporary interest. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with November 14, 1946. The Indonesian Mobile Brigade, or BRIMOB, is established. BRIMOB was first formed by the name of Tokubetsu Keisatsutai, or Special Police Forces, after the Japanese occupation ended. This unit was initially given the task of disarming the Japanese army, protecting the head of state, and defending the capital. On November 14, 1946, Prime Minister Sutan Syahrir formed Mobile Brigade, or MOBRIC, in exchange for Special Police Forces. This corps is known as the Dark Blue Beret Corps. This date is set as the anniversary of the Blue Beret Corps. On November 14, 1961, MOBRIC turned into the Mobile Brigade Corps, or BRIMOB Corps. In 1981, BRIMOB formed a new subunit called the Explosive Controlling Unit. Turning to November 14, 1991, the World Diabetes Day is celebrated for the first time. The World Diabetes Day is a global diabetes mellitus awareness campaign held on November the 14th every year. The campaign is organized to tackle the alarming rate of diabetes increase worldwide. November the 14th was chosen as the World Diabetes Day because it was the birth date of Frederick Banting, one of the pioneers who discovered insulin. Frederick Grant Banting was born on November the 14th, 1891 in Ellison, Ontario, Canada. He was the first physician in the world to find insulin. Insulin is a hormone capable of converting blood sugar or glucose into muscle or glycogen sugars produced in the pancreas. Lack of this hormone can cause diabetes. Let's end today in history with November 14, 2001. The Northern Alliance fighters take over the Afghan capital of Kabul. After the attack on the World Trade Center, WTC, in the United States on September 11, 2001, the country began a campaign on the war against terrorism in Afghanistan with the aim of overthrowing the Taliban, accused of protecting Al-Qaeda, and to arrest Osama bin Laden, the Al-Qaeda leader. The Americans garnered strength from NATO and other countries such as Britain, France, the Netherlands, and Australia. They gathered Taliban opponents in northern Afghanistan who joined together to form the Northern Alliance. In October, with US and NATO air support, the Northern Alliance began waging a war against the Taliban. On November 14, 2001, the Northern Alliance succeeded in getting rid of the Taliban ruling in Afghanistan since 1996. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again through Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In our daily program focus, the theme of today's focus is President Joko Widodo talking about marine and economic inequality at APEC Summit. President Joko Widodo attended the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC Summit in Da Nang, Vietnam last weekend. The heads of government of 21 APEC member countries attended the 25th APEC Summit Advisory Business Council with heads of APEC member countries at Furama Resort, Da Nang, Vietnam on Friday. Before attending the 25th APEC Summit, President Joko Widodo attended APEC Business Advisory Council meeting on Friday. In his speech at the meeting, President Joko Widodo voiced the gap and economic imbalances that must be addressed in the future, especially with the Anot Bogor goals that becomes APEC vision after 2020. The Business Advisory Council meeting, co-chair of Indonesia and India Bakri said that President Joko Widodo underlined that whatever is done in APEC after 2020 should highlight how many gaps had been addressed. At the APEC summit on Saturday, President Joko Widodo also had the opportunity to deliver a speech. On the occasion, he highlighted that sea potential to be the economic center of APEC country is very huge. That's because the geographical location of APEC countries is in the Pacific Ocean, the largest ocean in the world. Therefore, President Joko Widodo encouraged prioritizing the marine issues in APEC, ranging from fighting against illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing or fish theft, overcoming plastic waste in the sea, and developing marine and fishery sectors. President Joko Widodo also highlighted the concept of sea toll in Indonesia. Over the last 3 years, marine infrastructure development has accelerated, including building 24 strategic ports to connect the Indonesian archipelago. It aims to form the connectivity of large and small ports and to shorten the time of transit and delivery. The concept of sea tolls is also beneficial to increase port capacity to connect leading and outermost areas and to reduce price disparities. Previously, U.S. President Donald Trump praised Indonesia during his speech at the opening APEC summit. For decades, Indonesia has built a domestic and democratic institution to manage a vast area of 13,000 islands, Trump said, as the BBC has written. He believes Indonesia has improved itself from poverty to become the fastest-growing country in G20. President Donald Trump acknowledged that Indonesia is currently the world's third-largest democracy. He views that extraordinary change also occurred throughout Southeast Asia. Well, listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Myanmar leader Daw Su Kyi responded to the request of ASEAN countries to take steps to resolve the humanitarian crisis that occurred in Rakhine State. Leaders of ASEAN member countries together with China agreed to announce to initiate negotiation on a code of conduct in an effort to resolve the South China Sea conflict. Leaders of ASEAN, China, Japan and South Korea met at the 20th anniversary summit of ASEAN Plus 3 in Manila on Tuesday, November 14. Antara reported from Manila, the Philippines on Monday, November 13. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed hope on Monday, 13 of 11, that a partnership between the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and the United States can contribute to world peace and prosperity, considering that the agreement includes political security and economic cooperation. The bilateral relation between Indonesia and Egypt have long been established in various fields. Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized the crucial role played by small businesses in the growth of economy in Southeast Asia during 31st Association of Southeast Asian Nations Leaders Summit in Manila on Monday, 13 of November. The last item, Jakarta Deputy Governor Sandiaga Uno is optimistic that the preparation for the 2018 ASEAN Games will complete it according to its intended schedule. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to the culture of Entas and Entas Tengger. So stay tuned. Entas Entas Tengger culture and Mencak Tengger are designated as Indonesian Intangible Cultural Heritage, which is contained in a certificate signed by the Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi. The certificate was handed by East Java Governor Soekarwo to Probolinggo Vice Regent Timbul Prihandjoko ahead of the ceremony of the Youth Pledge Day at Grahadi Surabaya, East Java, last October. According to Timbul Prihandjoko, with the recognition of Entas Entas Tengger and Mencak Tengger as the Indonesian Intangible Cultural Heritage indicate how high the cultural values which was inherited by Tengger ancestors so that people have to keep and preserve the nation's culture. Entas Entas Tengger is a funeral which is usually held especially at Tengger Nadas village, Poncokusumo. The Entas Entas tradition connected to the culture of Megalithic period. Entas Entas is defined as a description to preserve or raised degrees of ancestors in order to get a better place in the realm of spirits. In other words, the ceremony is aimed to purify the spirit of the ancestors. The ceremony of Entas Entas Tengger has the meaning to restore the constituent elements of the human body. These elements are land, wood, water, and heat. The land means that every human being who died will be buried in the ground. The wood is used to mark the location of the dead, planted as a gravestone, while the water used to bathe the deceased. In other words, as a cleanser and at the same time as a tribute to God Baruna, the god of water. While the heat is used to restore the element of burning, the series of executions of Entas Entas culture take a long time, even up to 3 months. Usually the ritual is performed on the 1000th day or at least on the 44th day after a person died. During the ceremony of Entas Entas Tengger, the dead figure is re-invited in the form of dolls. The dolls named Petra, made of leaves and flowers that will be sanctified by the stakeholders' custom. Beside Entas Entas, they are also made kulak or bamboo container filled with rice. Gulag is a symbol of the deceased. Then the family started to prepare long racks to stretch, and families or relatives gathered under the rack to burn Petra dolls. This method is believed to restore the heat. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Entas-Entas Tengger Culture. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Restaurant Indonesia, or in English, Indonesian Restaurant. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Restoran. Restoran. In English, restaurant. Makan siang. Makan siang. Lunch. Dekat. Dekat. Nearby. Kantor. Kantor. Office. Kesana. Kesana. There. Bermacam-macam, bermacam-macam, various. Masakan, masakan, cuisine. Memesan, memesan, to order. Semangkuk, semangkuk, a bowl. Soto ayam, soto ayam, Indonesian chicken soup. Nasi putih, nasi putih, white rice. Sate kambing, sate kambing, goat satay. Kerupuk udang, kerupuk udang, shrimp crackers. Pedas, pedas, spicy hot. Juice, juice. Alpukat, alpukat, avocado. Memanggil, memanggil, to call. Pelayan, pelayan, waiter. Next is a conversation on Restaurant Indonesia, or in English, Indonesian Restaurant. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Budi and Bill at the office. Bill, siang ini kamu mau makan apa? Bill, siang ini kamu mau makan apa? In English, Bill, what do you want for lunch? Apakah di dekat kantor ada Restoran Indonesia? Apakah di dekat kantor ada restoran Indonesia? Is there an Indonesian restaurant nearby? Ada. Mari kita ke sana. Ada. Mari kita ke sana. Yes. Let's go there. Di restoran itu ada bermacam-macam masakan Indonesia. Di restoran itu ada bermacam-macam masakan Indonesia. In that restaurant, there are various Indonesian cuisines. At the restaurant.
Saya ingin pesan semangkok soto ayam dan nasi putih. Saya ingin pesan semangkok soto ayam dan nasi putih. In English, I'd like to order a bowl of chicken soto or soup and white rice. Kamu mau pesan apa lagi? Kamu mau pesan apa lagi? What else do you want to order? Saya mau sate kambing dan kerupuk udang. Saya mau sate kambing dan kerupuk udang. I'd like some goat satay and shrimp crackers. Apakah kamu suka pedas? Apakah kamu suka pedas? Do you like hot spicy food? Ya, saya suka pedas. Ya, saya suka pedas. Yes, I love hot spicy food. Saya juga mau jus alpukat. Saya juga mau jus alpukat. I also want some avocado juice. Baiklah, tunggu sebentar. Baiklah, tunggu sebentar. Oke, wait a moment. Saya akan panggil pelayan. Saya akan panggil pelayan. I'll call the waiter. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Dangdut Song. Stay tuned.
Kau kena
Listener, senior dangdut singer Imam S. Arifin has just presented a song entitled Menari di Atas Luka. The song tells about someone's regret and wants to come back to the lover but not responded. The song, which was composed by Imam S. Arifin himself, released in 1990, included in the album with the same title, Menari di Atas Luka. In accordance with the lyrics, the song is slow tempo with a classic dangdut arrangement. The song was very popular at that time, so that the name of Imam S. Arifin became too popular as a famous dangdut singer in the country. The singer, whose the original name of Imam Sunaryo Arifin, was born in Madura, East Java. He became too popular with the song Menari di Atas Luka, then released the song entitled Jandaku. Before we got to know Imam S. Arifin, let's listen to the song entitled Jandaku, Happy Listening.
Istri yang ku cerai kembali lagi. Thank you.
The song entitled Jandaku tells the story of a man who divorced his wife, helped his former wife no longer cry and regret over the divorce. In accordance with the sad lyrics, the song is slow tempo. The song Jandaku is available on the album of The Best of Imam S. Arifin, Volume 1, which was released in 2014. Besides the song Jandaku, there are also 10 other songs included in the album, such as Jangan Tinggalkan Aku, featuring Nana Mardiana, and Dia Lelaki, Aku Lelaki. Composed by Imam S. Arifin himself, the song tells the story of purity of love. While the song Dia Lelaki, Aku Lelaki tells the story about someone who betrayed by the lover because his lover turned to another man. These two songs are slow beat. Imam remains consistent with the music he takes, the classic dangdut. Well, listener, to conclude the regular music corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs of Imam S. Arifin entitled Jangan Tinggalkan Aku and Dia Lelaki, Aku Lelaki. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.